I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning to everyone, and please be seated. Jesus was making a habit of having celebration parties with all the wrong people, so the Pharisees claimed. In response, the parables are ways of saying, this is why we are celebrating. At the heart of the trouble was the character of the people Jesus was eating with on a regular basis. The tax collectors were disliked, not because they were tax collectors, but because they were collecting money for either Herod or the Romans, or both. And nobody cared for them at all. The sinners are a more general category, and people disagree as to who precisely they were. They may have been people who were too poor to know the law properly or to try to keep it. Certainly, they were people who were regarded by the self-appointed experts, the Pharisees, as hopelessly irreligious and out of touch with the demands that God had made on Israel through the law. Jesus was demonstrating something radically different by eating with the rejected. He was proclaiming God's love to be far wider, far deeper, and far more inclusive than it was understood to be. Anyone lost can be expected ordinary concern from God, beyond the prohibitions and boundaries normally understood. To lose something valuable will cause a reordering of concern, a breaking with routine, something exceptional that allows for the finding of what has been lost. The single lost sheep requires the leaving of the other 99 to go and find that one sheep. The particular sheep and the particular coin were not in themselves special. The whole point of the parable is that the only thing different about this sheep or that coin is that it was lost. The woman loses one of her 10 coins, but every effort possible is undertaken to find that one coin. The lost sheep is given absolute attention because it is lost. Jesus is eating and celebrating with those thought to be beyond salvation, perhaps people who have continually been told that they are lost beyond hope. And up until Jesus, perhaps they believed it. The idea that we are lost sometimes causes us to be confused, especially if we do not think that we are lost. It is possible to be found when we are not even looking for, and we do not realize that we are lost. Being lost, whether we acknowledge it or not, is believing that we are beyond the care of God, which Jesus says is never the case when we repent of our sins. Growing up in the mountains of Tennessee, where I usually spent my summer as a child, I would often find myself exploring underground caves, something that no longer has any appeal to me. But when I was a young boy, nothing could be more exciting. With groups of other boys my age, we would be taken to the many caves of the Cumberland Mountains by our counselors of the summer camp we attended. And one cave was particularly fascinating. It was called the Saltpeter Cave. And nothing had changed about its interior since the American Civil War, when it was mined for saltpeter, a necessary ingredient for gunpowder. It was huge, reportedly going back for miles and miles to a large river. All this added to the intrigue and imagination of the boys who liked to explore its endless caverns and tunnels. As a general rule, we never explored the cave in the daytime, as that would be a waste of good daylight. we would enter the cave at night. And I remember that the humid darkness of the night had no comparison to the subterranean darkness of the cave, which was a heavy, weighted, dry darkness, and like the silence of the cave, could be chilling and oppressive, especially when we all agreed to turn off our lights and stop talking. It was truly scary. It made us appreciative of the fact that we were not alone. On one particular expedition into the cave, we had, as usual, entered at sunset and made our way for several miles back into the saltpeter's endless reaches. Here we stopped, got out our sleeping bags to spend the rest of the night sleeping soundly on one of the ledges of the cave's walls. Our counselors woke us up before dawn, and we made our way back to the entrance and the light and heat of a new day. On this occasion, we arrived 2 hours before the agreed time of our pickup and were sitting around idly around the cave's entrance when one of the younger boys realized that he had left a precious pocket knife in the cave, all the way back to where we had slept. After some bargaining, 2 of the older boys agreed, since we had time, to go back to where he had slept to find the knife. This they did, and they found the missing knife. But as they were about to return to the entrance, they heard a movement near an overhanging rock. And when they investigated, they found a young boy who had slept through our earlier departure. He was sound asleep. He never realized that the others had left him behind. And when I think of this story, I shudder with fear and all of the what-if possibilities that come to mind even after 60 years. What if he had woken to find himself alone and abandoned in the cave? What if they had not gone back to look for a knife? A boy was lost, and only God knew it. He was found and safely returned because of the grace and love of God. That I am convinced to this day. In Paul's letter to Timothy, we hear his great thanksgiving of being found and rescued by Christ. Paul, known as Saul, was a man who was found when he did not know he was lost. In his own words, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. He had reportedly held the coats of the men who stoned St. Stephen. To Paul, the emerging Christian sect was a threat to the orthodoxy of Judaism, of which he was a supporting zealot, determined to rid his belief of this threatening heresy. Paul was lost, but even more to the contrary, he believed that he was one of the few who had found the truth. To the extent that he was traveling to Damascus to persecute and eliminate followers of Christ. But on that famous road to Damascus, Christ reached out and saved him. Paul was dramatically converted by a dream so powerful that it literally turned Paul inside out. He says, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with a faith and love that are in Jesus Christ." The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul was found before he knew he was lost. To declare someone lost today would perhaps be seen to be judgmental or lacking in compassion. Being lost could be associated with a failed life, someone who has not succeeded. Most of those we idolize, sports stars, TV and movie celebrities, lifestyle gurus, celebrity chefs, journalists, politicians, to name a few, would not, at least in public, believe that they were anything like being lost. Most of us living in good houses or driving around in good cars, or someone just back from a lovely holiday, would struggle to embrace the idea of being lost. Our modern materialistic secular world has clear definitions as to what success and failure are, and would struggle to understand what it means to be lost outside of these boundaries. The ones who might understand what Jesus described as lost are those who have been rejected by society, who are failing to overcome addiction, or who are facing bankruptcy or possibly homelessness. These are the people, among others, who know their need and are not blinded by their success. They are the ones most likely to embrace the salvation that Christ is offering. We are all sinners, and we have all fallen away from our recognized need of God. We are all lost, but only the fortunate ones realize that they are lost and seek salvation in Jesus Christ. The sheep is lost because it cannot find its way back to the shepherd. The corn is lost when it is no longer available and hidden. One of the fundamental tenets of Christianity is it only makes sense if you experience or recognize your need for Christ. When you see that you are lost. And one of the things that strikes me about the New Testament is just how often Jesus is healing people. It seems this is the reason so many people are following him. The harsh physical realities and the desperate lack of real medical treatment left many trapped in dark, painful, and hopeless worlds. They knew their need for God. They were lost in the worst, most terrifying meaning of being lost. Life without hope, trapped in relentless suffering. Today we can, with modern medicine, do much to heal and alleviate human physical suffering. The type of loss modern humanity is experiencing is spiritual. Trying to live life without meaning or purpose. When we abandon God, we are saying that our lives are a random, meaningless event. Nothing matters. It's all empty and without purpose, and that life is essentially tragic. So get on with it and get used to it. The atheist believes we live in a pointless, nihilistic universe. Atheists can be brave and they can be boastful about accepting that reality. But in truth, they are like the young boy in the saltpeter cave. If he had woken up. A life without God could be a cold, dark, and frighteningly lonely place. But do not dismay. In fact, rejoice. In Christ, we are in all truth not lost. God is relentless in his search for us. Our Eucharist this morning is God reaching out to us, declaring his presence with us, and sending his Spirit to strengthen us. We can always call out to the Lord, and the Lord will always respond. Let me close with a reading from part of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to the abundance of your compassion. Behold, you desire truth deep within me, and shall make me understand wisdom in the depth of my heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Turn your face from my sins, and blot out my misdeeds. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Amen.